Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio this morning is a guy who I hang out with most of the day anyway, Ed Ronco, KCAW's reporter. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you got the chickens all rounded up.
The chickens are rounded up this morning, and I made it in on time.
Okay, good. Ed, as I mentioned yesterday at our membership dinner, which was a fantastic time, by the way, thanks to everybody for showing up for that. It's always great to see the smiling faces of the people who basically are our constituency. But I mentioned that you have just completed, week before last, you were on a trip, but it was just no ordinary trip. You were on a fellowship, and it was a rather prestigious undertaking at back east.
I got lucky to be part of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution's Fellowship in Ocean Science Journalism. So they bring 10 reporters from around the world together for a week of kind of a crash course in ocean science. And the reporters come from a variety of backgrounds. Some are like me, local reporters who cover all the news that happens to intersect often with ocean science journalism. Others were national reporters who only focus on ocean science issues and environment issues.
And Woods Hole is a rather renowned institution, right?
They seem, they are the go-to place for ocean research in the world. Throughout the week, we heard about people's research, and kind of the recurring theme was if something interesting is happening, no matter where it's happening, they go there. Antarctica, the Red Sea, someplace in the middle of the South Pacific. They have, it seems that they would probably laugh at this, but it seems like they probably spare no expense in going where they go. I know budget times are getting tight for everybody, so I'm sure they do spare expenses. But anyway, they really go all over the place and do kind of the primary, really in the water ocean research. These are the folks that found Titanic. These are the folks that have just explored the bottom of the Mariana Trench, which is the deepest part of the Pacific Ocean. They go there and they do it.
It occurred to me that every time you see a documentary about anything to do with ocean research, it seems like there's a scene at Woods Hole, or they're leaving from Woods Hole. And is this a facility right on Cape Cod or someplace?
It's right on the bottom of Cape Cod, and they've got two campuses. They've got kind of a main campus that you would expect to see with a winding driveway and all the laboratory buildings. And then they have their village campus, which is where kind of where they started and where a lot of their labs are and their dock is. And that's right in Woods Hole Village, which if you look at Cape Cod, it's kind of like if you're pumping iron or if you're curling your arm to show off your biceps. Cape Cod looks a little bit like that, and Woods Hole is right at the bottom of your arm, kind of sticking out into the Pacific, into the Atlantic Ocean there.
Part of your basic training.
Yeah, right. Where are we? No, so, it's kind of an amazing place, and Woods Hole Village itself is filled with other laboratories. Marine Biological Lab, which is much older than Woods Hole, is there. NOAA has a facility there, so it's kind of a hub of ocean science.
And this wasn't you and a bunch of public radio reporters there on some sort of I don't know, promotional kind of thing. Right. You with your backpacks and your Birkenstocks. This was like. The guys from the New York Times and in Europe and stuff.
Right? Yeah, it was really a cross-section of reporters. There were two of us who were local NPR station reporters. The other one was from WCAI, which is the station on Cape Cod. There was a reporter there from the Martha's Vineyard Gazette. There was a reporter there from Korean Broadcasting Systems, a producer from BBC News in Wales. There was a gentleman who writes for the International Herald Tribune and the New York Times out of Paris. And then freelancers for Popular Mechanics, or Popular Science, excuse me, somebody who writes for children, which I thought was really cool that they would bring somebody in like that who has to explain science to children at grade level, kind of reader textbook things. So really a huge, diverse cross-section of people in their experience and in the type of journalism they do and in the audience they do it for.
Why did you go for it? Why did you apply? I mean, you had to apply, right?
I grew up in corn and soybean country, and came out to work here and found that all the stories I was doing, not just a few of them, intersected with ocean science at some level, sometimes directly. You know, sometimes we were out on the water doing a story about a whale that had washed up on a beach, or doing stories about fisheries. Sometimes it was the city assembly deciding whether to lease or preserve tidelands. So in some aspect, everything we cover here has some intersection, either directly or indirectly. And even if the story itself doesn't deal with the ocean, that body or that issue will at some point come into contact with ocean science.
Okay. I'll ask you in a minute about how some of this training might affect your stories. But I wonder if you could just sort of tell us about a day in the life of an ocean science journalism fellow at Woods Hole. What was a typical day like?
We were up at 8-ish every day and out the door, and then spending the day in lectures. So you get to the lab or the conference room where we were meeting, and you'd be sitting in front of kind of the world's preeminent scientists in any given area. We met with a guy named Michael Moore, who is a whale biologist, and actually he's a veterinarian by training. And he's been doing research on the North Atlantic right whale and entanglements and ship strikes, and is kind of the voice and the go-to guy in doing this research. Fascinating person. We met with people who were dealing with coral reefs and coral bleaching and paleo-oceanography, which is my new favorite word, using the stripes in layers of sediment or in coral to go back and retrace what's been going on in the ocean since before recorded history. Absolutely fascinating stuff.
All right. And you also did some hands-on stuff, right?
Yeah, we did some beach profiling, where we got to go and survey a beach and, you know, look at some oyster farms that were going on there. And then we also got to go to the National Deep Submergence Facility, which is the place that builds and runs the robots that the world's research community uses to explore the bottom of the ocean. They showed us part of a robot called Nereus. And Nereus has just returned from the Mariana Trench, where it explored. The Mariana Trench is the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. It is the deepest part of the Pacific Ocean. In fact, I think I saw a graphic that you could submerge Mount Everest. Not in it, but it's that deep, you know.
Wow.
From peak to peak. So we got to operate an arm that was attached to Nereus that was used to manipulate things down there in the Mariana Trench. And some of us were better than others. We were comparing it to a video game. You know, it's just like a video game. You grab the joystick and you use the triggers and you move, and you can pick up this little. So they had all of us sit in a chair and try and pick up this aluminum fish. And you'll hear, we have a piece of tape from it, you'll hear the voice of Andy Bowen, who's director of the National Deep Submergence Facility, kind of a rock star in the world of undersea robotics. And he's standing next to me watching as I suffer through trying to, let's just say I was not as good as my colleagues.
Okay, so this is, you're basically, this piece of tape we have is from the lab. Mm-hmm. You're operating one of the most sophisticated and expensive pieces of ocean exploring equipment on the face of the earth.
Yes.
And it's not a grad student standing over your shoulder. It's basically kind of the guy who invented it.
It's the guy who knows exactly how it should work.
So. Okay, so here we go. It's about a minute long. This is Ed Ronco operating the Nereus
manipulator arm.
Yeah, robot. Yes.
You have another minute to redeem yourself here.
Oh, no. Okay.
Now, remember, you can rotate that claw.
All right.
So that's...
That's...
There you go.
That's this.
Yep.
I was always better at Mario Brothers than the grabby thing. If this thing ran and jumped, I would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
If it shot fireballs, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Oh! All right. I better give it a rest.
You sure?
Well, let me try. All right, hold on.
You'll get it.
Oh.
Although you could be the first one to break it. Not to put any pressure on.
Right. All right. Yeah. Next. Yeah, when the guy who designed it said, you could be the first one to break it.
Oh, boy. Okay. So I take it Philippe Cousteau will not be calling.
I don't think, yes, look at this new species of, oh, sorry.
Yeah. I thought I detected a little bit of performance anxiety or something in your in your voice there as you were operating that robot. Ed, we've got about a minute or so here. How will this training do you think how will our listeners benefit by your doing something like this? You know, that only 10 or 11 of you guys get to do every year.
I think on a couple levels. One is that you're going to hear some of the world's preeminent scientists speaking specifically about Sitka in stories to come. That'll be probably the most audible way you'll see the result. The other way is that as a result, I think I feel more comfortable asking questions of scientists I deal with on a regular basis. I feel more comfortable thinking about the science angle into any story. So really, what it helped me do as a journalist is think about how to ask better questions and get better answers and kind of look beyond that initial layer of explanatory journalism into the why instead of the what. So I hope that answers your question.
Perfectly. Ed Ronco is just back from completing the Ocean Science Journalism Fellowship at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute. Ed Ronco is a reporter here at Raven Radio, and thanks very much for coming in this morning, Ed.
Thanks.